Thank you, God. What a magnificent opportunity has happened to our lives to know that there's a real God who loved us enough to deal with us personally so that we stand on a firm foundation. Because the great thing about a relationship is that the longer you travel with it, the better you know it. And what's interesting is you eventually become like the person you travel with. Am I right?
Yes.
I became just like Rachel. I know. Wow, indeed. That was from the adoring fans. The kind of God we serve is able to bring us into a place of relationship that we not only get to know each other, but we travel in a sense of security in what we know. And what Satan always wants to do is take away that sense of security in what we know, yeah? So what he's doing is bringing us back to his voice, because the voice gives us the certainty of the relationship. Because the one troubling thing that happens when you get in the middle of a storm is, where did he go? I love silence because you're all squeezing up. I can feel your brains contracting. Like, wow. You get in the storm and that's exactly what happens. Where did he go? So, but we know the longer we travel with him, we know that he will most certainly show up because he brought the storm for his glory. Just like the blind man, the disciples said, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents that he was born blind? Now, how could you sin before you were born? Like, find out where your mother's kidney is and just push. You can tell when she lays down. Now that's evil. But somehow I think sin requires some intent. And I got a feeling that those little lambs in the womb don't have any intent. None at all. So his love and mercy brings us to this place. And what I want to talk about is my most favorite subject, and that's the Word of God. So, the Bible starts that way. Starts with a voice, which is speaking the revelation power of God. Am I right? Because it is talking about absolute truth. That's what God's words were. So the Bible said in the beginning was the Word. That's what John said, yeah? So that's what we want to talk about, is how the Word of God handled the Word of God. And what he did that brought to us that sense of understanding about the depth of its power. The Word of God has power. And you and I, drawing from the strength of the Word of God, have a sanctuary. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a high tower. And the righteous run therein and are safe. So you and I are learning that place of safety where the Spirit and presence of God brings us. So, God, we just pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your presence in this place. God, for all that you do. God, for the words and the music. God, the message that you've already delivered to our hearts. God, we are those people who are grateful that you exist and that you love us and that you love our children. Down through the ages, Satan has always tried to pilfer from your people the things they love the most. And God, what we love the most is our children. And so we have these high trials that test us. But God, your word brings us through because your promises are steadfast. And God, we just pray you touch this word this morning. God, that you would bring out of it a revelation to us. God, that we would partake of that which lasts forever. God, that we would lean upon your voice. God, that we would recognize your voice in your word and your word in your voice. God, we pray it in your name. God, keep us from every voice that would diminish you, that would scandalize you, that would speak evil of you. God, any voice that would tell us contrary to your word, God, break it from our minds and from our beings. God, we are the people that make choice. We're the people that make the choice. You said, choose this day whom you will serve. And God, we are making choice that we're going to serve the Word of God. We're going to serve you, Jesus. And we're going to follow you, and we're going to let your presence bring this word to truth. There are so many voices. God, we pray this morning that you will impregnate us with the truth. Bypass our ability to think it through. Impregnate us. God, plant this seed inside of us. You said you were a sower. Sow in us this morning these things that are eternally true. God, we thank you for the power of your presence, and we thank you for this written word. Heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. This word will never, never pass away. God, I want to be anchored in your word. I want to be sustained by your word. And I want it to be your voice in my spirit. In your name I pray. And for every person in this place, we ask that you would do these things as only you can do. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. 12 years old. Told you my testimony lots of times. Love to tell it. I decided I was going to fast and pray until I saw a vision of Jesus. I mean, I wanted to look at his face. I wanted to see his face. He had done nothing but smile on me. He'd done nothing but assure me. He'd done nothing but love on me. And I wanted to see his face, for I gathered with the saints. There were a couple of people who had actually had a vision of Jesus stepping into the room. And I just made up my mind, God, that's what I want. So I missed my ride to church on a Friday night, and I tried everything I could to get there. Told my older brother, I don't think I'm going to go tonight. I was going to stay home and pray. And then I thought, no, I shall surely go. And I wanted to see that face of God. So the neighbor lady saw me come out of the house like a bolt running the wrong direction. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go over to 64th and Kimberly or something. I don't remember the address. Where my friend Lloyd Bruton was, I was going to intercept them before they left because my brother was going to go and pick him up that night. Yeah. She said, well, I'm going to King Supers just a block away. She always was going where I was going. She said, I'll take you over there. Boom, she drives like a wild woman. I'm thinking, this is going to work out good. Nope, I missed them. But as fortune would have it, my friend gave me the key to his house, and so I let myself in. It's what friends do, yeah? And I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray all night. Because before that sun comes up in the morning, I want to see the face of Jesus. Wow. And man, I just went to prayer. About 11 o'clock or 10:30, my brother and my friend Lloyd drive up, and they come in, And I told Lloyd and Gary, I'm going to pray all night. I want to see a vision of Jesus. Lloyd said, I'll put on some coffee and we'll all pray. Now, you can't do better than two or three people gathering, yeah? Man, I just went right back to prayer. Wee hours of the morning, I went out to the little shed behind his house because I'm thinking, I don't want any distraction when he comes. I don't even look at Lloyd. No, really, that wasn't what it was. I didn't want anything distracting me. I wanted to focus on him. I wanted the Spirit of God to bring me into that place. And I wanted to be tender to the Spirit. And every few minutes I'd look up because I was certain he was going to be standing in that room. You've heard my testimony. Prayed all night. The next day I was praying most of the day. And finally I went to sleep. Lloyd said, I'm going to make some chili. Man, did he make good chili. And coffee. Now I'm 12 or 13. I'm 12 years old, I'm sure. And he's making me coffee and chili. You can't sleep on coffee and chili. It's not the caffeine; it's the indigestion. You can't lay down. Am I right? So, man, I go back to prayer. Now this is Saturday night, and I am absolutely certain because everything I'd prayed for, God had done. I mean, I can't think of anything that I prayed for up to this point that God did not meet. So I'm certain I'm on the inside track. I'm his favorite kid. He loves me. I love him. We got this thing. He wants me to see him. I want to see him. So this is going to work out perfect. So I prayed all Saturday night, and Lloyd helped me. And I told you the story before. Before the sun came up, Lloyd said, hey, why don't we go over to Welby Hills and climb up on the top of Welby Hills and watch the sun come up. Now, this is a huge In Kansas, you'd call it a mountain. In Colorado, they called it a hill. And but it was really steep, and people used their four-wheel drives to test it. And they would test their nerve to drive up this face of this stuff. And so Lloyd had a 53 Chevy. And he said, well, we'll go over to Welby Hills. Now, I'm thinking we'll go over to Welby Hills and we can pray. Now, there is kind of a docile road you can drive up the back. And he drives up to the front of this thing going straight up. And he said, do you think that my car will make it? And honestly, I thought, I am going to get to see Jesus. And I commenced to pray harder than I had the night before. And I told him, no, I don't think so, Lloyd. He said, up this hill we went. And man, we're almost up to the top where death would be certain. And his car is giving him this, I think I can. And he's got it revved up and the tires are spinning faster than we can get traction. Am I right? Oh, yes, I'm right. And finally, God puts us on the top of this mountain. I don't want to look at the sunrise. I'm just so thankful that I've lived through the long, dark night. It's Sunday morning, and I'm sitting on top of Welby Hills in a 53 Chevrolet two-wheel drive. Yeah, take that, you bad boys. Customize your trucks, fix yourself antennas, put on chrome wheels, means nothing to me. I have a 53 Chevy, take you all on once. Because the next time I intended to get out and take a picture of Lloyd doing it all by himself. Went to church, discouraged, because for the first time I fasted and prayed, and I know God hears. I know He loves me. I know He loves you. And I was living in this spoiled realm of God meeting me where my prayers touched Him. And now I haven't seen Him. And I go to church, and actually I'm thinking, okay, well, it's Sunday morning. And I'd had a vision in the church. I'd had a vision in the church, and the Spirit of the Lord blessed me miraculously. But I'm thinking, oh, well, of course it would be in the church. No, I went to sleep in the church because I had prayed Friday night and Saturday night. And I just fell asleep. I'm thinking, wow, I've never fallen asleep in church. Later on in the week, discouraged, honestly discouraged, because I believed God would do that for me. I opened up to this portion of Scripture in John, and He said, John 1, I've read it to you lots of times. And this is what God did to me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I don't know how I got that far. Past all the things he told me before about the Word and him. But when I got there, it was though I was standing in the presence of a never-failing God. And I realized that my Bible was Jesus. And from that day to this, I can't remember ever opening my Bible that I did not know that what I was reading was a reflection of the revelation of the glory of God. His glory, His truth, His reality. You guys, I was so glad I didn't see him that night for a few seconds, because I was going to talk to him anyway. He wasn't actually just going to appear. I was going to go, before you leave, Jesus, I have some questions to ask you. He's very wise, because he stood before me and he gave me all the answers I would ever need. I didn't know it when I began to read, but I tell you what, he's still opening to me the revelation of him. And that's what the Spirit of God wants to do to the church, because we are coming to this place. The Bible starts with the Word, with the voice. And it goes all the way through the Bible, and it ends with a voice. When you look in the book of Revelations, it ends with this voice of God. And we're going to go and read some of those things. But I want to stop somewhere along the way, because in Revelations chapter 10, and we've all been here so many times, you're all yawning already. You're thinking, well, this is going to be a quick service because we know all this stuff. He's just going to say, and you know what it says. But you're wrong. Because I love to say what it says, and you love hearing what it says. Am I right? Amen. Amen. So the Bible tells us that God gives these trumpets, seven trumpets, to his angels. And these trumpets are messengers. They're messages. So we're coming to the last days, he tells us here in the book of Revelations. And he said, I'm going to send a message with an angel. And what I'm going to do is bring this witness of my word. So in verse 7, it says this. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. That's because the trumpet was a voice. Am I right? The book of Revelation starts that way. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a voice as of a great trumpet. And then the voice began to tell him something, and he wrote down what it said. Yes? So he wasn't just hearing a trumpet. He was hearing a message that was encoded by the trumpet. The trumpet changed it into a sound. So it wasn't just words. If you and I know a song, if you and I know a song and somebody sits down to play the song, you and I know what they're playing. That's the sound of the music. That's the sound of the understanding. But out of the understanding, it is for a select people who know what the song was. Am I right? So if you know what the song was, then you know what the words are. And all you have to do is hear the song. You don't even have to hear a word now. So it's transferred to this place that it is vibration. Because that's what God created. In the beginning was the Word. It was the created Word of God. There was no words before then. In heaven, you don't need words. There's just a spiritual exchange that goes on between the thinking process and the person thinking it with those who are thinking. The Bible said, your thoughts ring out in heaven. I know. That's scary. That's what the Bible said. Your thoughts ring out in heaven. I wasn't good about this towel when my dad told me that. And I can tell you that every time I started to say something, I realized, well, my thought has already rang out in heaven. And the angels are going, Your Majesty? Your favorite child? I'm only using that because I'm talking. You are saying you are the favorite child. Are we together on that? Yeah? I don't want to create any jealousy. No, because it isn't that, because we are His favorite child. Yes? That's the great thing about a God who loves us like that, because when He talks about us, He talks as though there's no one else. And that's the precious thing. That guy, Tommy Gallegos, in the prison in Colorado, God changed his life, turned him upside down, changed the man from an old man to a new man. He said, you know, Brother Rice, he said, I figured out something. He said, I know why there's so much squabbling in the body of Christ. He said, when we come to Jesus, it's such a personal experience that He makes us feel like we're the number one child. Then when we get together with other Christians, it's sort of like, and who might you be? Am I right? Jesse told Rachel she was adopted. She was adopted. You have to look at her mother. If she was adopted, then she was adopted by her mother. But sometimes older siblings tell younger siblings those kinds of things. You're irrelevant. But the thing is, you're not irrelevant. The Spirit and presence of God. I'm just using these things because I want you to start using them. I want you to start saying that about you. God loves me. And I'm His favorite child. He watches over me. He cares for me. And I believe that He would answer my prayer. You see, when you feel like you're the favorite child, you're going to get your answer. Yes? Yes? When I would go in to talk to my mom about doing something on the weekend, I'd want her to take me over to Welby Hills to the roller skating rink over there. Yeah, same place. Only not on top. And so I would... But when I came in, she would be against the idea. Because she had a busy life. I don't know what she was doing. But she had a busy life. She just would, every time I'd get around her, she'd be doing something busy. Taking care of Fred, Paul, Ann. I was self-maintenance. But the thing is, I would have to warm her up to the idea. Right? Because when you travel with a woman who has five children, being the number one child, you have to kind of sneak it up on her. Because at that given moment, you may not be the number one child. So, she's shorter than me, so I took advantage of that height, and I would hug her. And I would look in her big brown eyes, tell her about her big brown eyes, tell her that I love her, and she'd go, okay, what is it you want? I said, why do you always say that when I'm hugging you? Because she said, whenever you're hugging me like this, you want something. I said, well, as a matter of fact, I'd like to go roller skating over at Welby Hill. She said, do you know how far that is? I said, no. No, because when I'm riding with you, it just seems like a blink and we're there. And I could go on for however long it took to finally get her in the car with the keys. It's like, okay, okay. Relationships built on interaction. Because God loves praise. Not because He's an egomaniac, but because He does so much that goes unnoticed. Because everything in your life and mine and on this earth has been the benevolent gift of God. Rain when it rains, no rain when it don't rain. I mean, everything God does well. And so He's teaching me and you, look, you look at me. But I want you to understand that all that I do because of you. When you come to believe that, when you reckon that truth, I do this because I want you to believe in our relationship. You guys, that's the bottom line of what He's talking. So here in Revelations chapter 10, He says this. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. Now this is the last trumpet, am I right? The theology plays with trumpets. Theology plays with stuff. If they want an angel to blow a trumpet somewhere, somehow, out of sync with everything God has ever said, they just pick it up and say, now this is that last trump of God. Because Paul said that Jesus would come with the last trump. Last trump. So if you want to know where the last trump is, find the last trumpet blown in the book. That's how simple it is. Because when God calls it the last, He'll tell you what the last trumpet does. And what He says here is this angel blew a trumpet and the mystery was finished. That He had revealed to His servants, the prophets, the Word of God. Down through the ages. You understand that this didn't come just because there was a message in the book of Revelations to John on the Isle of Patmos. This came because God started talking to the prophets a long time ago for them to give the message to His people. You know why? Because He loved them like He loved me. And when they took these scriptures and they took it and just did damage to it because they wanted to own the place. And that's what's happening now. Men want to take this precious Bible and say whatever they want to say about it. But there's an establishment of the Word, and here's what He starts with. He starts with created Word. Divine Word. Because there's never been a voice before. We never needed it. But now God is creating the language, and you know why? Because He's about to make a man. And He knows that man needs to hear a voice. God wants to talk to the man because He's created the man to hear a voice. See how He thought this stuff out? He gave you ears to hear. And let him that hath ears hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Because God knows that your ear is a door to your mind. And all the devil has to do is have your ear. If he's got your ear, he'll mess you over all the time. Don't give him your ear. Don't listen to what he says. When he wants to make accusations against the people of God in the body of Christ, throw it out because you know it ain't God. When somebody tells you something that someone in the body of Christ has done and it makes you mad, that ain't God. That ain't God. I don't care what they tell you. If it makes you mad, that ain't God. Because what will happen is the spirit and presence of God will tell you what the answer is. Now, what I know is that God has to bring us to a place that this word operates like that in our life. So God created word. And he began a process of revelation out of that word. So, and we've talked about this lots of times, but from Adam, his son, Adam lived 900 years. So we had a single message through a single messenger who walked and talked with God. People said Adam died spiritually. It's a lie. He didn't die spiritually. Even his son Cain talked to God. Now, if you're dead spiritually, a spirit God cannot talk to you. I've met people in this world that the spirit of God cannot talk to. Cannot talk to. They have to be born again of the Spirit, yes? Because you have to have a receptor. You have to have a receptor. Back when AM radio was the big thing, you had to have a radio set. My grandmother bought a radio set and they could listen to the radio, but you had to get to the station, yes? Because the stations broadcast on a single frequency. And the point was that you could pick a particular station while someone else was saying something else just that far away. Man, that's a genius plan. But that's what God does to me and you, because the Spirit knows it needs you to operate on the frequency that God's Spirit operates on, because just that far away is going to be all the other voices. So God wants you and me to stand in this steadfast place. So the New Testament starts like this. I want you to go with me real quick to Matthew. How many know that sometimes people mess with clocks and watches and phones and they speed the time up? But we're wise to what they do. So, I know you've always wondered why we lock the doors after you come in. Actually, we don't. Fire marshal would. So, here's what the genealogy of Matthew says, which is after Malachi. Just a point of reference. Now, all four of these Gospels start with the exact same thing. Like I read over there about the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And that's because everything you revealed about Jesus encompassed the Word, the revealed Word, the revelation of God, the created Word. Jesus was the created Word, am I right? Yes. Yes. He's the created Word. Somebody read me Revelations 19, 23 and 24. Is that what it is? Revelations 19, 23 and 24. My mom was born in 1923. Yeah. Yeah, Revelations 19. Try that. See what you come up with. Oh, 12 and 13. Oh, yeah, 12 and 13. Just take a one number off of both those numbers, John. Okay. So John sees this picture and he understands that all these things are the dynamics about him, but his name is called the Word of God. That's his name. All right. So now here in the book of Matthew, it starts out, and Matthew is telling you and I about the generations that bring us down to Jesus, because he did follow in the lineage through Mary with King David, am I right? So he was born of royal lineage, but so was his foster dad. His foster parent, Joseph, was also in the lineage of David. Now, so this is what it says. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. So now we have, this book starts with the story of Jesus, because Abraham took Isaac up on a mountain and offered him to God. Yes? He was going to kill him. He was willing to kill him and shed his blood because God asked him to do it. But he had faith that he would get resurrected. Even if he killed him, he had faith he'd get resurrected. See how this book starts about the story of Jesus? Now, Matthew's written it after Jesus has been crucified and resurrected. And he understands about all the battles that are going on about the validity of Jesus. And he just starts talking about the genealogy in a way that nobody in Israel could receive it. Nobody could. Because what he tells you here is that there, well, let's go over here and read it. As we come to the culmination, it says this. And if you got your Bibles, turn with me to this verse 17 of the first chapter of Matthew. We've all been there lots of times. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So we've got 42 generations. Right? Okay. So now we understand that Matthew's defined this way, but you guys, you know that when you read it over in Luke, Luke talks about the genealogy of Jesus, and there's way more than 42 generations. So you understand that what God's talking about is I'm talking about the revelation of the Word of God. So let's start with this thing. Let's start with Abraham taking Isaac up on the mountain. And now I want you to go with me to Numbers chapter 33. Real quick. We're just hurrying through this really quick. Numbers 33. Numbers 33, and I want to begin with verse 3. Well, we could read from verse 1, but let's do that. We got plenty of time. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. This stuff's been written down because God commanded Moses to write what happened. A history. And these are the journeys according to their goings out. Verse 3 said, and they departed from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. Now you can take your little marking pen and mark down through there. There are 42 encampments from here to the end where they enter into the promised land. Okay? 42 encampments. Now this is what Matthew is telling you. And the reason he's telling you that is because God is tying something very important together, and that is they left Ramesses on the 15th day. The blood is still nearly fresh on the doorposts of the hearts of those people, right? They leave from Ramesses. They're in Egypt, and they're getting ready to leave. But the reference is on the 15th day. On the 14th day, they killed the Passover lamb. And Matthew takes you from the Passover lamb at Ramesses and the shedding of that blood all the way down to Jesus, the lamb. Yes? So he starts with this revelation about who Jesus is and how we get to this place. And you guys, the carnal mind doesn't figure this stuff out. God's Spirit revealed it. He told Moses, write this stuff down. Now, Bible schools will tell you this. I'm certain they will. I've never met a preacher that preached it, but I'm certain they must tell you that there are 42 encampments that the children of Israel did. So to get from Egypt to the promised land, to the promise of God, to get from Egypt to the promise, he said there are 42 encampments. Now, if that be so, I'm going to tell you that from Abraham to Jesus, there are 42 generations. The Jewish people are going to go, I can't believe Matthew ever kept the books. He was a tax collector, yeah? Well, how can you mess the numbers up that bad and get the stuff figured out? It's like, Matthew, come on. You're a man that kept numbers. You know how to count genealogies. But if you count it by the voice of God, see, he starts with the voice of God. His reference isn't about exactly how many dwellings there are. It is that God told Moses, you write these things down. And that's because I can take what was written down. And by the revelation of God, I'm going to show you something. From the Passover lamb in Egypt to the Passover lamb in Israel, there were 42 encampments. And when they came in, they came into this perpetual place that they had given to them by God. Yes? So, before he left that encampment, before Jesus left the encampment, they'd shed his blood on the 14th day of the first month. Am I right? So from the 14th day of the first month to the 14th day of the first month, and Matthew will tell you that story. Men couldn't claim that. Men couldn't do it. The flesh can't get it done. People will tell you, well, I don't know if I trust the Bible. Listen to me. That's why God did this. Because you can trust the Bible. Because men can't make this stuff up. You can't go from the Passover lamb to the Passover lamb and not have God reveal these things to you. It's the kind of God we serve. He's a God who knows how to finish the tabernacle. And he said, and when during the days of the voice of the seventh angel, this mystery will be finished. Of course, it's been prophesied by the prophets. Go back to the prophets. Start with Moses. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes. So, I want you to go with me to Mark. The second gospel. Yeah? And I know that they each show a face of Jesus, but I just want to read this about the Word. Yeah? Mark, as far as I can tell, made one reference to Old Testament Scripture. He recorded the things Jesus said about Old Testament Scripture, because Jesus quoted the Old Testament all the time. But as far as I know, this is the only, and you can prove me wrong Wednesday night in the privacy of the kitchen. There may be another place, I don't know. But with my extensive searching quickly, I couldn't find another place. Here's what it said. I'm at chapter 1, verse 1 of Mark. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the message. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then he tells you, as it is written in the prophets. Yeah? As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now listen, when these people doubted Jesus, Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? Right? And Peter said, well, you're the Christ. Jesus said, okay, that you didn't get that because men taught you that. You got it because my Father revealed that to you. But what people said about him was all kinds of different things. And what Jesus wanted to do is nail it down to this, because John said this. So Jesus was in the temple doing things, and they said, okay, you don't have any place in here. You're not a Levite. You come in here and you sashay around like you're some important teacher. The people are even calling you rabbi. You're not a rabbi. You're an illegitimate child from Nazareth. Get this thing straightened out. And they do this in front of all the people, am I right? And they said, who gave you the authority to even come in here? Jesus said, let me ask you a question. I love his questions. Have you ever asked God a question? He asked you a question. He asked me one time, do you do well to be angry? I said, yeah, no, yes, I do. Started to say no, I knew he knew. Like, yes, I do well. Somebody in Kansas, I was living in Arkansas, and somebody in Kansas got really angry at me, which is not unusual. And he said some terrible things about me. Terrible things. Hurt my flesh. My spirit man was okay. And I wrote a cute little poem, and it just came to me, and as fast as I could write it, it just came out, and I wrote it down. And it talked about how he used my name in low contempt. And I was going to stand up against this lie that he fed. And rejoice is all God said. Now that's not the whole poem. That's just how we got to that line. And when I got to that line, that's what rhymed. And rejoice is all God said. I was telling God, God, look what he said about me. Look what he said. God said, rejoice. It's like, and so you didn't hear what I said. What I'm saying is, he said mean things about me. But the voice said, rejoice. Rejoice. So that's what Jesus did. And these people in this confrontation, he said, let me ask you a question. Baptism of John, God or men? Because this is what John said. Can I read again what John said? As it is written in the prophets, go after that. Big shots. You got the scrolls. Dig out one. Dig out one. In Spanish, digame means tell me. Talk to me. Dígame, por favor. So, dig it out. Read it to me from a scroll. So this is what the scroll said. And they would not. Do you know why they would not? Because this is what it said. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. My messenger. And he said, behold the Lord. Yes, that's what John said. Behold the Lamb of God. So Jesus said, here's the thing. This is what the messenger said. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. So they sent and asked people. They sent people to ask John, are you Elijah? God's not a God of reincarnation. God said, I'm going to send him in the spirit of Elijah. Yeah. So they came to John. They said, are you Elijah? He said, no, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Look it up. From the prophets. That's what he said. He quoted the scripture, who he was, that he was Elijah, the spirit of Elijah. Yeah. Yes. So what are you going to do with that? They didn't need to look it up. They already knew what it said. They just were glad he didn't say it out loud, because it was the authority by which he did those things. He said, you know different. You know better. And you're denying these people this access to God, and shame on you for doing it. So in the midst of all this turmoil stuff, God just keeps going back to the Word. Now I want you to go with me to Luke. Luke is a Greek Gentile, been hired by an important man to write out an exact account of what happened about the life of Jesus. He travels with Paul, am I right? An awful lot of the time he travels with Paul. But he talks with everybody who knew Jesus. It's the kind of research that Luke did, and that's what he's telling us here. Now, a preface is always written after you write your book, right? And then you write the preface about what the book is about. So these first four verses are a preface to this book, and we all know this. I just said it because it sounds like I read it. For as much, verse 1, chapter 1, Luke, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. See, he didn't even say what was done. You see how he chose his words? That we believe happened among us. You can't argue with belief. You can't say it didn't happen. Because you have to argue with the person. Well, you're going to believe that? Yeah. I had somebody fighting with me when I had my first church back in 1967. They said, you have to quit preaching about the Holy Ghost, not for today. I said, well, when Jesus saved me, he baptized me. I was 12 years old. And something inside of me just began to praise him. And out of my mouth came tongues. And the person that prayed for me told me what was going on in my life. And told me stuff that nobody knew but God. So I can tell you that he had a word of knowledge. And then he had the power of God to cast out an unclean spirit that was tormenting the daylights out of me. And the Spirit of God came in me and filled me up. And I began to speak in other tongues. So I tell you what, you'd had to have been there. But you can't take away from me what I know happened. And of course, they fired me. But that's all right. If you get fired from your first church, that's not bad. It is humbling. And you feel like you have been degraded and pushed out and stomped on and picked at. But if you have the Word of God and you won't give up, you leave with the Spirit and presence of God and His Word intact. And I wouldn't give up on that. I'm not going to compromise that. I'm not going to turn around because you are going to fire me and my house and my job are tied up together. And it didn't matter whether people liked me or not. Did not care. And God does what he does, just like Paul and the serpent on the island. The banker's little boy was having an appendicitis attack and God healed him. And those people all over that place talked about it. And so when I came back, the lady whose house I wanted to rent, she said, you were the guy that preached at this little church over here at Cornell. I said, yes, I am. She said, and you prayed for the banker's son. I had no idea anybody knew but the banker. She went to the big Lutheran church. He went to the big Lutheran church. She said, and God healed him. And I want to say, thanks, I didn't know. See, I didn't know. I don't wait around for somebody to sound horns and do trumpets and do that stuff, because God can heal and he can touch people later on down the road. The glory is his. Glory's not mine. I'm not the healer. He's the healer, but I have confidence that I believe. And believing is the thing. And there are a lot of critics that think they can see, but you know what? Unless you're looking through the eyes of God, you didn't see anything. Listen to what he said. To set forth, I'm back in verse 1. To set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Is that exactly what God told Moses to do? You write this stuff down in order. You keep track of what I'm doing. You keep track of my people, what we are doing. You write this stuff down. Even as they delivered them unto us. They delivered what they believed to us. And you know what? We came out believing. Oh, yeah. How does Mark start with something so abstract for the concrete basis of a foundation that he's going to build on? Is that abstract? We just believed. We believed the people that believed. And they believed the people that believed. How's that? We all just believed. It's like, so how do we get into this place? Well, you have to believe somebody who believed. Am I right? Look, if you're going to prove a point, and these guys were all fighting about whether Jesus was a whatever. They were just fighting him. But if you start out and you're telling people, look, this is the basis from which we're going to derive our information. And I'm writing it down. And I'm delivering it to you. Because God's that kind of God. He's still doing what he does. Yeah? I remember when they looked at Jeanette's x-rays, her wrist was broken. They said, wow, her wrist is broken. And she was going, yes. Because she wanted a cast for people to write on. Yeah? But it's a bad break in the wrist. Yeah? And we prayed. And when we got, they told us, no, you're going to have to take these x-rays over to some specialists because we actually can't set this. We took the x-rays over to the specialists and they took an x-ray for, we don't need that x-ray. We're going to x-ray see what it is today. The guy came back and said, there's no break. And she goes, I said, I'll break it for you. Just wait. We'll get you a cast. I'll see if I can buy some plaster repairs. I don't know how they do that anymore. They said, there's no break. The guy, and so he said, can I see the other x-ray? And he takes the other x-ray, lifts it up and said, well, it was broken. Well, it was broken. You can't set it on a was. You have to set it on an is. See, that's the kind of God that answers prayer. And when does he do that? We don't know. You know, I prayed for Amy lots of times. But one night her knee was swollen. And God just said, pray. I don't stop praying because it doesn't look like something's going to happen. She had kidney stones. Man, I'm telling you, I could feel the agony emanating from her. I said, I'm going to pray for this. Of course, she did pass them, but here's the deal. You would think it would be an easier road, wouldn't you? But we prayed for her knee because I don't quit. I don't quit because I believe. I believe. And that's what it takes. It takes somebody believing to stand on what the Word of God says to do. We prayed, and our knee shrunk in this place. It shrunk. We could all watch it. We're all saying, okay, that's God. That's God, and that's what God does. So we know that God knows how to get these things done. He's that kind of God, but it is a believing thing passed on from people who believe. And it isn't just that I tell you something. It is that in front of you, I have an example to live. And out of that example, you can see that God does what God says he's going to do. That's what the church needs. We need less talk and more of the production of God's Spirit and presence in our midst. But you know why he's not moving so much among men anymore? Because they want to strut the platform like they did something great. And they want everybody to throw all kinds of accolades at them because the mighty power of God's moved through these men. Listen to me. The mighty power of God moves. And he told us to pray. And that's the foundation on which I stand. He commanded me to do this. This isn't about me looking for some kind of kudos or pat on the back. This is different than that. This is thus saith the Lord. If God tells me to do it, I'm going to do it because I believe. Now, verse 2, Luke tells us this. Now, he's telling Theophilus, yeah? Yeah. Most excellent Theophilus. I've talked so long. Sorry. Can I reread verse 1? For as much as many as have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Not ministers of gods, not ministers sent from God, not angels sent from God, not apostles. Not what he said. He said, we're ministers of the word. We have something you can believe in that will never go away. It will never change. The devil's not going to triumph over it. And you and I have an ability to tap into this. The Spirit of God is going to bless our lives. Now listen, Michael called me this morning, and God gave him a message about the voice of the seventh angel. So for $350, he and I are going to sell you a combined set. But you're going to want it. Because the more we talk, the better it got. Finally, we just realized, you know what? I said, because 9:30 he has to go to church. He's in his office, right? I'm sitting at the table drinking coffee. He said, and of course he's wound up. I'm not going to tell you what he said. Because I brought up, he said, well, you know, what were you reading? What are you going to preach about? I said, well, actually, the voice of God, the word of God. I said, I'm going to start in Genesis and go over there to Revelation chapter 10. And he goes, 10? He said, that's what God gave me. And see, it's a completely different direction. You're going to love what this guy does. You're going to say, we should move to Georgia. But you shouldn't. It would break my achy-bakey heart. Now, here's our deal. So Luke tells us these things because his spirit is in this, doing this stuff, yeah? It seemed good to me also. Now, he said many people have taken hand to write. Is it amazing we got four? A Greek physician? A tax collector? I mean, you guys, the amazing thing of God. A disciple who was a fisherman, a mender of nets, yeah, who filled his gospel with the word love, love. John just, you can't read his gospel without this, and he never talked about faith, ever. Do you know that? You can't find the word faith in John's gospel. All he ever talked about was believe, just like Luke talks about it. It's just about believing. Believing. How could you do less with a God that real? So he says this. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Wow. He said, I researched this thing, and I tell you what I did. I got the perfect information because I knew you were going to need the succoring, the security created by a truth written down that I have talked to the eyewitnesses and the people who lived with him and did these things and saw these things. I'm not talking to people who had a rumor thing. I'm talking to the people that knew him. He said, you're going to need it, Theophilus. Oh, thank you, Luke. You wrote it for Theophilus and millions of people. You wrote this thing out because you and I need a more sure word of prophecy. And that's what Peter said, wasn't it? He said, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. Yeah, walking with him, talking with him. Listen to what he said. Having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that you might know the certainty. Certainty. You guys, to trust your soul to a message, you have to have someone you trust with certainty. And that's what Theophilus was asking for. I've heard so much. I've heard so many different things. And he must have hired Luke to research this. He traveled for years. It took Luke a long time to write these out. He wrote, of course, the Gospel of Luke and Acts. But the thing is, you guys, he walked among the people and talked to the people and got accounts that didn't come through secondhand. There was no secondhand stuff because Theophilus wanted the certainty on which he could believe and tell others. And that's what God wanted. God said, you take this thing and you write it down. I want people to have certainty down through the ages. You guys, 2,000 years ago, this was written down. And I have absolute certainty that everything contained in this book was written by God, who wanted me to get the message firsthand from somebody who searched it out because he knew I needed the certainty and the ability to believe in a world filled with voices. You get your Bible. You get your Bible. You get your prayer closet. You turn yourself over to God. Say, God, I want the word. I want the voice. I want this word to turn to voice. I need you to speak to me. I need your voice. You guys, there's nothing There is nothing so comforting as the voice of God. Listen, you can have friends come by and pat you on the back and hug you close. But when the voice of God tells you it's going to be all right, when the voice of God tells you everything's going to be all right, devil's just dancing around, trying to bring confusion on you, make you feel dejected and singled out and defeated. And the devil tell you he can touch your son. He can't touch your son. He can't touch your son. It's kind of God we serve. You didn't come by accident in this place today. God has a message for you. And there's a certainty in the message. There's a certainty in the message. God is a never, never failing God. He will never fail you. And He will take care of your issues. And what He wants to do is make you know, just as sure as He put the 10 plagues in Egypt, He wants you to know that everything that the devil brings against you, God will bring you up and out. And when He gets done doing this, people will talk about what God did in your life. And they will be able to talk about what God did in your children's life. And no matter what the devil's trying to do against you, God will overcome every obstacle and set you in high councils with God. Yes, because the voice brings you there. You just know God's that kind of God. Stand on the written word. Stand on the word. When you've done all you can do, stand on the word. Rachel's going to sing that next Sunday. I love that song. Stand on His word. That's what God wants you and me to do. Now listen to what He said. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. He'd already been instructed. He'd already been instructed. But He wanted somebody to sort through the information of His instructors. So He took His money bag out. And He got a hold of one man that He knew that would do him right. And it is possible that Luke was a slave. We don't know. It's possible that Theophilus bought him. I don't know. But he was a physician. And he was an artist. And the way he writes has that poetry about it that only the Spirit of God could bring. But I can tell you what, beyond the poetry, beyond the beauty of all the things that were said, was the certainty of the Word of God that you can live on and stand on. And nothing can harm you. This is your sword, but you need a certain sword. And you're glad because it's 12:30. And we already know about the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You guys, that's what you and I have. And we have the book of Revelations. We have so many things that tie into this. This message is a two-day message. But I would have to tell you, bring cake and stuff to stay that long. But here's the thing. Let's stand together. The certainty. Absolute certainty of what God is doing. Of what God's Spirit and presence is accomplishing, because God is accomplishing it. Now I want you to take the person standing next to you by the hand. Because here's our issue. Believing. Believing. Believing that things are going to be all right when everything looks all right. That's easy to believe. But when things don't look all right, and just somehow something inside of you reaches out when you're reading and takes a hold of something from the Word of God, and you just draw it into yourself, and you're suddenly floating. You're not sinking anymore. When that happens, God has moved into the circumstance. And He'll do that for you. He'll do that for me. He does that. It's the kind of God we serve. And that's what you want this morning. You want God's Spirit to bring this conclusion to the matter and the certainty that God has spoken it to you. Out of the words and back to the voice. Out of the words and back to the voice. God, speak to me. Speak to me what I need. Speak this to me. I'm asking you. Bring it out. Your word is magnificent. I stand on it. And it's certain. It is certain. It's there all the time. It's consistent. But I need your voice. I need you to talk to me. I need you to talk to me. God, your Spirit has given me answer again and again and again. And I just pray, God, that you would bring the fullness of what you're doing in us. God, we believe the message brought by those who people who believed. And God, it is not a dangerous place. Because you never left us without the written word. And God, we go back. We go back just like Theophilus said, there are so many instructors. They've said so many things. Luke, find the people. Find the people that were healed. Find the people that were delivered. Find the people that heard the message. Bring me the message. Bring it to me the way he said it. I wish I would have traveled with him. I would to God I'd have been with him. But you go find the people that traveled with him. And then, of course, Theophilus found the Holy Ghost had been poured out and began to travel with those people elected. Those people selected. That the presence and power of God can make the difference in their life. Now, God, we just pray this morning that you would touch Gary Patrick and every other need. Touch Grace's son. God, you're a loving Father. And God, we pray for your mighty presence to touch. God, we pray for Mike and Laura Rimmick. God, touch them. We're coming to this celebration of life. And God, there have been so many things that had to be done. But God, the stillness and quietness created by the loss of the voice of a loved one, it is a tremendous silence. It appears at the worst times, holidays and birthdays and anniversaries. And God, it is in those moments that we recognize why the pain has suddenly come up. Because sometimes our mind forgets the date, but our spirit still feels the wounds. Now, God, I just pray that you would touch this family, continue to touch the Wilson family. God, we thank you, Jesus, for your gift to us and the opportunities we've had. Touch the church in Georgia. Bless this sermon that was preached this morning. God, I pray that you'd glorify your name. Exalt yourself in the wisdom and the information that you're giving to Michael. God, it's such a blessing to see what we can do when we grow in Christ Jesus. And God, all of us here are candidates of that choice. We get to choose you to serve you, and you choose us. God, we want that. Many are called, few are chosen. Choose us, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We commit all of these things into your hands for safekeeping. Keep us in the center of your will, center of believing, with the certainty of your written word. God, we pray it in your righteous name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Lord bless you. Go in peace, and we will see you Wednesday evening.